We'd get it right, wouldn't we? Yeah. We can always hope. Well, it's really good to be here. Bud had talked to me a few days ago about coming in and filling in for him while he's gone. I have been here a lot, just never on Sunday, because I've been a part of the Innovative Church community for the last few years, but have never been able to be here with you on Sunday. So I've been looking forward to being here. And Bud told me I had an hour and a half once I started, right? That's about what he'd take. Okay. All right. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we won't go too much longer than that. Try to get you out of here before 3 o'clock. but no, we're not going to take that long. Bud had shared with me that you'd just finished up Ephesians 5 talking about marriage, and you're going to be going into Ephesians 6 talking about parenting. And so one of the things that I thought I would talk about is one of the things that I've seen a lot in the years that I've been in ministry is a whole idea and concept called boundaries. Some people that I talk to that are a part of Celebrate Recovery are very familiar with this concept of boundaries, and really talking about how it kind of relates to family life and some of the challenges that happen when we start having boundary struggles. And so we're going to kind of look through that today, talking about how forming boundaries within your family. And I kind of want to use this illustration to get a start with. There's a picture. Now, that is not my yard, and that's not my application for Desperate Landscapes, okay? Before we get started, I just want you to know that. I'm not really sure whose yard it is, because they were coming out right as I was taking the picture and had to leave very quickly. So I'm glad it was that clear, because I was really afraid it would be blurry. I really have no idea whose it is. But if you'll notice that there's a fence along this property, when we start to think about boundaries, one of the things that we do with physical properties is that we will a lot of times mark that with a fence. You know, we will put a fence around our backyard, and that'll kind of designate, saying, you know, this is kind of my domain. Basically, as long as we have our domain marked, you know, we can kind of do anything we want to within reason of the law in terms of what we do in the backyard. You know, we can do swing sets, we can do swimming pools, we can do landscapes, we can do furniture, patios, decks. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can do, but as long as it kind of fits within that frame, that this is kind of my domain, I can do this. While the next door neighbor may do something totally different, that's their boundary. This is my boundary, I'm going to do what I want to do here. So that's kind of one way to look at it when thinking about our life, thinking about the boundary markers that you can place around your own life to say, this is me, this is kind of my area of domain within my life. And as we walk through this message today, what I hope you'll see is that you have more power and control over that domain than sometimes you may even realize. The biblical precedent for this, I think, comes from 1 Corinthians 4, and it's going to be up here on the screen. It's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. There are a lot of things that are in our lives at this point that are trusts. Our marriages, our children, our jobs, even though they may frustrate us at times, it is a trust because we have been contracted to do a particular job with wherever it is and whatever it is that we do. Maybe the places that we choose to volunteer and other relationships that we have in our life, all of those things are trusts. They have been given to us. Now, when Paul wrote this in Corinthians, he was kind of looking at it in terms of spiritual leadership, kind of leadership within the church for his day and time. But if we want to take that another step further in terms of the application, we have all been given trust. And they come in different shapes and sizes and different things in our own lives, depending on where we are in our life, the decisions that we've made, the relationships that we have, the things that we are doing. All of those things come under trust. And what God is challenging us is how well are we being faithful to those trusts that are in our life. And a lot of times, what happens is what challenges us to be faithful to those trusts is when we start having boundary issues. When things start pulling at us and tugging at us in certain ways that we really begin to lose sight of where some healthy boundary markers are for our own life. And we're going to go into that. We're going to flesh that out a little bit more as we go along. Now, there's another thing I want to say, too, before we dive into this a little bit further. Another way to look at this too is we have to be careful that we don't look at boundaries in our life as a license. And what I mean by that is that we can't use boundaries as kind of a license to have reckless behavior or do whatever it is that we want to do or defend certain reckless behaviors or selfish behaviors or destructive behaviors because we've set a boundary. Boundaries are designed to be done within the confines of the trust that God has given us and to being faithful to what He has given us without getting overextended. So as we go through this, please keep that in mind as well. There's another critical component to boundaries that I want to share with you kind of as we're laying the foundation before we jump on into this. And there's a couple of verses in Galatians that I want to point out to you. The first one is Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And then verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. Now I think there's some room on your notes. I want you to write down these two words, burden and load. It's not part of your message notes, but I think there's some room on there. Burden and load. Those are the two words that we're going to think about. When you look at and when you study what the word burden means, it really means something in excess. Excuse me. Meaning that whatever it is that's in excess, whatever it is that creates this burden is so heavy that it begins to weigh us down. Think about trying to take a boulder and carry it on your back. I don't mean a rock, I mean a boulder. Think about the weight that that would put on you. It's something that's stronger and heavier and bigger than we can carry on our own. Now, on the flip side of that, a load, in essence, means cargo. And it comes back to the things that we are responsible for. It's kind of that daily toil that we have every day in our life. Those things that we ultimately are responsible for as part of our everyday life. What time we have to be to work, what we have to do while we're at work, what we have to do in terms of our marriage, what we have to do in terms of our kids, all of those things that we ultimately are responsible for that we can't pass over to anyone else. Well, what happens is a lot of times when we start struggling with boundary issues, when we allow our lives to get so overextended that we begin to treat the loads as burdens. And then we take those burdens and then we try to carry them ourselves as if it's our own daily toil. I mean, I'm sure some of you have been around people who will try to take their responsibility at your work and pass it off on you or somebody else because for some reason they don't feel like they should be responsible for it anymore, but it's their job. Or there's those things that happen in our lives that are bigger than us, that are stronger than us, that are more overpowering than we are, but yet for some reason we try to carry them on our own, thinking we'll be stronger. Thinking we'll look better, thinking we'll be a martyr, thinking we'll be a hero. Let me give you a good example of this from my own life. My first wife was diagnosed with cancer in May of 2003. And all of a sudden, we were in a situation where there were things that had become a burden. The certain things about the daily load became burdens. We would go to Duke University and spend about a week up there with tests and treatment and everything that goes along with that. And we would go back to Concord, where we were living at the time, and the mail would be on the table. Food would be in the refrigerator. The floors would be vacuumed. There were people who had taken those daily toils that had become burdens now because of this C word, and they were taking care of those things that now became almost impossible for us to handle ourselves. That's the difference between people coming in and carrying a burden that we can't carry ourselves versus staying responsible for those things that no one else can take care of for you. And you see, that's how God looks at whether or not we're being faithful to our trusts. Is if we're handling the load or if we're handling the loads of our daily life faithfully as we know how, honestly as we know how, that's where God holds me as an individual responsible. But if we fail to step in and help each other carry each other's burdens. If I have a burden, God doesn't hold me responsible for not carrying it. He holds those around me responsible for not helping carry it. You see the difference? I'm going to say this again before I move on. What happens with boundary issues is we begin to take those daily loads and try to pass them off on other people. Because they're our trust that we are ultimately responsible for that no one else can be. So with that in mind, let me just walk through some common boundary issues that I see in family life, in the professional settings that I've had, in ministry settings that I've had. Of course, the list is not exhaustive, but most of them will fit under these three. I think the first one is our resources. The first issue where I see families getting into trouble is under resources. Now, first of all, I'm going to talk about this in terms of our finances. It's a challenge when you have two people in a household who have two different financial goals. One is a little bit more risky with their spending. One is a little bit more conservative. One wants macaroni and cheese and the other one wants a T-bone. That's just kind of what happens. But if we're not careful, those kind of differing opinions can set us down a course where if we're not careful, we can get ourselves financially overextended. Because if there's something about this American culture that we've become good at is that we got to have it yesterday. Not today, yesterday. And we're willing to put it on a card, take out a second mortgage, take out a line of credit. There are a lot of things that we end up doing for ourselves in terms of sometimes lack of patience, not setting goals, and we can get ourselves overextended. And if there's anything that causes stress in a marriage or in family life, it's finances. Most of the time, that's the number one source of stress in married life is finances. Now, let me just say, it's not that it's wrong to want things in life. It's not that it's wrong to have places that we want to go or things that we want to acquire. Where we get into trouble is that we don't have proper boundaries in place financially to meet those goals over a reasonable course of time. We keep ourselves right at that limit of being extended or even overextended. Now, resources also fall under different categories than just finances. And I'm going to talk about this one a little bit more in just a second, but time is a resource. We can also look at our gifts as resources. Think about the gifts that you've been given as an individual. Think about the talents that you have as a person. And that's one of the things that I've always loved hearing, talking to Rick or talking to Bud about your church, is that you put a lot of focus on understanding who you are, how you're wired, the gifts that you have, the talents that you have. Those are resources. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, when we let other people begin to dictate where we ought to be, what we ought to do, how long we ought to be there, those gifts and talents begin to be pushed to the side and we're no longer able to use those because we're overextended in other areas. Those are resources just like our time and just like our finances. Let me give you some examples of especially some financial boundary issues. If we've racked up excessive credit card debt, there may be a sign of financial boundary issues. If we've mortgaged ourselves to the max in terms of a second or maybe a third mortgage, if we have out of control spending, and really anything can fit in this out of control, if it keeps at our debt level the same or even increases it, we have no saving plan. Most families live 1 to 2 paychecks away from financial bankruptcy. No spending plan or budget. Whatever we want, we go get it's the motto, which usually leads us back to excessive credit card debt, second mortgages, and so on. So those are some of the things that can be markers of whether or not we're kind of letting things go, that we don't have some healthy boundaries set up in terms of our resources. Let's go on to time. That's another boundary issue that I see families deal with a lot. I mean, could life be any busier? I mean, could we have life any more chaotic than it already is? We will spend money to save time, am I right? we will spend whatever is necessary to save a little more time. The computer can't be fast enough. The DSL or the cable internet speed cannot be fast enough. We can't change the channels fast enough. We can't get there fast enough. I mean, we just always feel like we're being pushed and in a hurry. Time is such a precious commodity. This can be a difficult one to get our arms around at times because there are so many external pressures that are pulling at our time, from our jobs, to our spouses, to our kids, to the places we volunteer. If we've had to take on a second job, if we have extended family who want to spend time with us or think we ought to be spending time with them, I mean, you just keep adding to the list and there's so much going on that keeps pulling and tugging and stretching for our time. It doesn't take long before we begin to feel like time is controlling us, not us controlling it. Now, I'm sure none of you can identify with that. Here's some examples of people who are struggling with time boundaries. Constant tardiness. It got a little quiet in here. Failure to allow for travel time or preparation time for whatever it is you're involved in. Feeling too responsible for other people. Lack of concern for the effect of the tardiness that it has on other people. Well, they're my friends, they're my family, they'll understand. Constant fatigue. Hello? Anybody? It can show a lack of priorities, and it can even show a lack of rest. Now, rest is a biblical precedent, believe it or not. God rested on the seventh day after creating. Jesus rested after feeding the 5,000 in the book of Mark. Now, I don't know about you, but if God and Jesus show examples of rest and need rest, who am I to think that I don't? There are times that I have hit the wall before because of lack of boundaries and going at such a pace that you feel like I can't just do it anymore. You hit a wall. You know, a lot of times we get sicker. We deal with those kind of nagging illnesses just a little bit longer sometimes because we are so fatigued. So time can get out of hand for us really quick. And then here's the third one is relationships. This is one of the third areas where I see boundary issues a lot is in relationships. And again, we're talking about those type of relationships that we have each and every day, from our spouses to our kids to our professional relationships with the requirements that we have in our jobs to friends that we want to get together with to extended family, like I mentioned earlier, who want us to be there and want to spend time with us or think we ought to be spending time with them. We get pulled in a lot of ways with relationships. Excuse me. And it just seems like a lot of times there's just not enough time to go around for those relationships. I think there are some examples of relationship boundaries, like one or two relationships who is dominating our time. And there are times that one or two relationships are not necessarily the immediate relationship that's more important. Whether it's a working relationship or someone who's wanting to lean on you as a friend, who's taking a lot of your time, taking a lot of your energy, taking a lot of your emotional investment that needs to be spent elsewhere. Sometimes in relationships, we feel like we spread too thin because we're trying to accommodate everyone. You ever been there before? You know, we're just trying to make time and make room for everybody. Sometimes when we get into boundary issues with our relationships, we have the emotional investments in the wrong order. And what I mean by that is we give more of ourselves emotionally to people outside of our immediate family that once we get home, we don't have anything to give. They get the leftovers. Ouch. Ouch. I got a little illustration I'd like to do. I'm going to wake you up a little bit. Anybody feel like being a volunteer? I'm going to need more than one for this, so don't. If I pick one, don't think you're going to relax. I'd like to have a volunteer who is married with children. Not the TV show. Married and have children. All right, now you can't let the first service out volunteer you now. Come on. Somebody's got to step up. I'm going to start with one person, but I have... She volunteered him to get up. She said, I'm not getting up, but you can. I didn't hear that. Was that a good thing? Stepping outside her boundary. Oh, man. You're listening really good. Somebody married and has children. Who would like to volunteer for that? Come on. I'm not going to embarrass you. Okay, come on up. See, it was a lady that stepped up both time, guys. Hi. Hi, nice to meet you. I have a box here that I have put on here with tape, and you need to be right in the center of the box. Okay, all right. All right. All right, now you are married. Is this your husband? For now. Okay. So you are not going to join us up here.
Well, I didn't volunteer, so I may not be up here.
Okay, I need, if he's not going to volunteer, which is fine, I need someone to represent her husband in the box. That would be you, okay. See, it could have been anybody. It could have been anybody, it doesn't matter who it is, okay. See, this is a great part about group participation. Never know what you're going to get. You know? How many children do you have?
Two.
I need two people to represent their two kids. Oh, hey, okay, that's one. That's one. Anybody else? Anybody? Okay, all right, come on up. All right. Excellent. Sam and Sam. All right, thanks for volunteering. Thank you. Okay. Excellent. No, you got to stand up. You got to stand up. Do you work?
Yes.
You do work? Okay. I need somebody to represent her job. Okay, all right, see? Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Where?
Okay. Do you work?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so. We need something to represent his job because he's part of the family too. He's part of the family too. Okay? Do you have siblings? Is he local? So you spend time with their family? And how many are in their house?
Just two.
Just two? Okay. I need two people to represent that. No, you can't have a larger box. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Are you back? Oh, there you are. Okay. Okay. Do you volunteer?
Yeah.
Okay. Where at? Anywhere else? Anywhere else in the community? You don't have time. Okay. Okay. How many ministry areas are you volunteering in?
Two.
I need two more people. All right. All right. There we go. Okay. Do you have friends? I mean, now come on.
They're already
in here. Do you have other friends?
Yes.
And do you spend time with them?
Yes.
Okay. How often? Often as you can. At least once a week. I need two more people. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So, how old are your kids?
20 and
10. Okay. Wow. Now,
the
this is fun. The 10-year-old goes to school, and are you involved? Are you, you know, in terms of picking up from school, activities, sports,
baseball?
I need another person.
Dwayne.
Anybody? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anybody? Okay. All right. All right. See, we're getting really thin in here. We're getting really thin. Parents? Do your parents live close by? Hmm? Okay. I need two more people. I need two more people. All right. Oh, man. All right, now, this is where it gets hard. You've got to be in the box. You've got to be in the box. Both feet have to. No, you're over the line. You're over the line. You're over the line. Oh, man. Oh. Wow. Wow. Yeah, you got. Okay, you got to be in the line. You're over the line. You're over the line. Yeah, you're over the line, too. Scoot it in. You're over the line. You're way over the line. You're way over the line. You've been told that before? You're over the line?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. Wow. Have I left anything out of your life? In terms of where you're involved, people you're involved with, things that you do? Aha. Did you read my notes? How comfortable is it in the box right now?
Great.
Great. Who lied? Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You were a lovely, lovely crowd. Do you see how quick this filled up? And at the last point, it was all they could do to keep their feet inside the box. What happens is when we crowd our lives with so much, there is no room for margin. There is no room to move. Now, here's the thing. If this is an every week, week in and week out example, what happens when the unexpected happens? Something's got to give. Something's got to give. Something's either going to be knocked out of the way, pushed out of the way, or it'll go that easy. And you know the unexpected things I'm talking about, right? The test that came back from the doctor. The automobile. The pink slip. And there's others. Those are the big ones. Or I could say, guess what? 2010 and a third one. I mean, you know. No, I'm not saying that for you. No, I mean, just saying. Let me just dig that hole there. But in that example of sometimes something being unexpected as well. I mean, we can plan all we want to. But see, that's what happens is we get so much going on in our lives. Now, think about if this box was your checking account. Yeah. Think if this box was your... But the way you look at that is think about for every expenditure you have, you add something to the box. A mortgage, a car, a second car, gas, 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 cable, television, child care. I mean, you know, you just start building these things in. So not only do our relationships not have much room for margin, our finances don't have a lot of room for margin. And if our finances and our relationship don't have room for margin, where are we with time? Whew. Some of you look tired. But that's what can happen is that we don't build that kind of margin in. And it's hard because one of the things we've done really well in America is we just add to it. You want fries with that? You want extra fries with that? We just add and add and add and stack and stack and stack until we are just absolutely exhausted and crammed and at our limit. It's hard to say no. It's hard to take stuff away. Talk a little bit about more about that in a minute. But one of the things that happens when we kind of realize that, you know, maybe I do have some boundary issues, maybe there's some things that I need to make some changes in my life so I can create a little bit of margin, is there are some fears that we have. And the first thing is that we fear other people. Here's why. Whenever we exercise a boundary in our life, it's going to cost somebody else something. And most of the time, they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it. But here's the thing to keep in mind. Nobody else is going to be responsible for your own life but you. No one's going to answer that question for you about whether or not you're being faithful to those trusts. So what you're responsible for is your boundaries, is your yard. What you are not responsible for is that other person's reaction. That person who is going to be affected by you creating a boundary in your life, you are not responsible for their reaction. Especially when you pray and you exercise this boundary in a loving, respectful way. I mean, you don't just walk in, kick the door down, you know, bloody somebody's nose and say there and walk out the door. That's not the way I'm talking about exercising a boundary. I'm just saying that when you really honestly look at it and say, this is what I need to do for me. I know it's going to cost you something. I know this may put you in an inconvenience, but this is what I have to do for my own sake, for my help, whatever it is you have to do it for. Some people aren't always going to like that, but you're not responsible for their reaction. It's understandable to fear others, especially when we don't like to say no. But that's the one thing we fear. The second thing we fear is ourselves. It's hard to exercise a boundary. It's hard to make changes in our life, isn't it? I mean, it's tough to make changes. But to say, you know, this is the change that I've got to make. And so the fear about ourselves starts to come in is, can I do this? Do I have the strength to see this change through? Do I have the strength to have that conversation? Do I have the strength to say this is what I have to do for the sake of my life and the people that mean the most to me? Because we don't like to fail, do we? We don't like to embark on something and then just kind of leave it there. You know, most of us, we want to see it through. We want to do it and we want to do it well. So we kind of fear whether or not we have what it takes to exercise that boundary. And I think this kind of goes along with one and two, but we also fear the consequences. And sometimes with very good reason. If there's an employer that is expecting 50 to 60 hours a week, and because of that 50 to 60 hours a week, a person is losing valuable time with their family, and they desperately want to be at home with their family, and they walk into their boss and say, I can't do this anymore because my family is more important to me, that's a risk. Is it not? That is a risk. But is it worth the risk? That's the question to ask. Is it worth the risk? Psalm 18:25 says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. How that faithfulness may come about in your life, I cannot answer. But I know that when we are faithful to the trust that God has given us in our life, when we are faithful to Him, that He is going to continually be faithful to us. How that faithfulness answers itself in each of our lives is wide open. Because God knows what we need. And He's going to answer that faithfulness. This doesn't mean that there's not going to be hard times. It doesn't mean that what we may have to do is going to be easy, because a lot of times it's not going to be easy. But in the case of a job, remember, it's only a job. You have to ask yourself the question, is my life more important? Is my family more important? Is my time more important? My resources more important? Those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. So how do we begin to make a change? We've talked about and tried to identify some boundary issues. We've talked about the fears that we experience when exercising boundaries. So how do we begin to kind of flesh this out? How do we begin to kind of put the wheels on the road and start driving the car a little bit? First of all, is just evaluate. I mean, just kind of sit down and take stock. You know, like before you go to the grocery store, you go into the pantry or the cabinets and you kind of say, what do I need? And you compare what you need with what you've got. Think about the trust that you have in your life. Begin to write them down. I have a spouse. How many kids do I have? I have a job. What are my responsibilities in places I volunteered or to other family members? Just begin to identify those trusts. And then evaluate how you feel you're being faithful to them. And be honest with yourself. Don't just talk about the ideal, talk about the reality of it. Because a lot of times we're gonna have this kind of twinge in our gut when we kind of do this evaluation. If we're really honest with ourselves, we're kind of gonna know already how we're doing with this. Here's another thing: get your spouse involved. Do it together. Make it a team effort. Number two, make the necessary change. I know, easier said than done. I realize that. But think about what it's going to take to make the change. What changes need to be made in order to be more faithful to those trusts? And sometimes those changes can be very simple. I mean, it could be a very simple change. But what those simple changes can do can maybe set you up to make the harder ones. It's just like, you know, working out. Well, for people who work out, I work out with a fork, you know. Sorry. You start with smaller weights and work your way to the bigger ones. If you're a runner, you start with short distances and work your way to longer distances. I mean, you know, the analogy applies in a lot of different areas. Make the necessary change. Number three, get support. I think this is key whenever you set boundaries. You've got to be able to get support, because some of these changes are going to be extremely difficult for you. And hopefully that support's going to come from your spouse. But if it's not, if it's something both of you have to work out together, get support from outside. Look into your small group. Look to some friends and say, I've got to have some help here. I've got to have somebody backing me up in this. I got to have somebody asking me a hard question. I got to have somebody asking me how I'm doing with this. Here's the thing that I think you'll find, is that when you begin to start exercising boundaries in your life, you're going to know who your real friends are. you're going to know who they are, because the real friends are the ones that are going to be standing behind you and supporting you and rooting for you, even if it costs them something by you exercising a boundary. The ones that are going to throw a guilt trip on you, the ones that are going to make you feel bad for exercising a boundary, they're only thinking about what they're losing. They don't have your best interest at mind. That's not where you're going to get support. So it's important that you get support. Number four, seek God. And this seeking process begins all the way back at evaluation. Seeking God's help and saying, where am I not being faithful? What changes do I need to make? To make them in such a way that brings about freedom, that brings about help, that brings about a sense of release, that brings about a sense of margin, not just change for the sake of change. Seek God's wisdom and His Spirit in that. And then number five, celebrate. When you exercise a boundary and you see the positive results that can come from that, that is cause to celebrate, because if the weight upon your shoulders is lifted just that much, if the margin you've created within your space is just that much, if you've given yourself just a little bit more financial room to breathe, that's just that much, you've got a lot of reason to celebrate. Acknowledge it. Make a marking of it. Somehow acknowledge that. And then when you make the next one, celebrate that. And those people that are going to support you are going to celebrate that with you. They're going to celebrate that with you. Sometimes it really is hard to grasp this statement I'm about to make. But we don't always have to be held captive by our circumstances. We don't. Now, there are things that happen that are outside of our control. I'm the first one to acknowledge that. But there are a lot of things that we get ourselves into that are our own doing. So we don't have to be held captive by our circumstances. There are choices and decisions that we can make to begin to create some margin and space within our lives. One of the things that people say in response to boundaries when they first hear it is that, wait a minute, if you're telling me to put a boundary marker on it, then you're trying to restrict me. You're trying to control me. You're trying to limit my movement. Well, not necessarily, because think about it this way. If you have created space in your life and you've got room to move within your boundaries, then you've actually created freedom that wasn't there before. Come all the way back to what I talked about earlier in terms of your talents. Your gifts, the things that you want to do in your life, the things that you enjoy doing in your life, as long as they don't get in the way of the other responsibilities that have to be taken care of, if you don't create space for them in your life, nobody's going to do it for you. Because the people that seek to get into our wallets and get into our clocks and get into our time and get into our space, most of them are concerned about themselves. They're not going to care about what you need in your own life. You've got to be the one to step up and say, this is what I've got to do for me. This is what we need to do for our family. This is what we need to do for the sake of our finances, whatever it is. I use this illustration. I put my wife on the spot first service, and she didn't turn too red. You know, we just got married in December, by the way. Yeah. But one of the things that was so attractive to me about her from the very beginning is that when she wakes up every day, she knows exactly why she's here, and that's to be a nurse. I mean, you see that in her heartbeat. You see that in her words. Now, she's been in a leadership position that has taken her away from direct patient care, and we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks. She wants to get back to patient care. Now, not everyone has the opportunity to have what is most passionate for you in life to be your job too. And I realize that. You know, some of us, we have a job because we have to provide for our family, and that job may not bring us much fulfillment. It may bring us more gray hair than anything else. But if we can create space in other areas of our life to do those things that we're passionate about, to do those things that give us life, not take energy away from us, that's where we begin to experience freedom. Because we're saying, I have to do this for me. I really enjoyed the music, and my background is in music. And if I don't have some outlet for music, I'm not the same person. I've been around music my whole life. It's in my soul. It's in my being. And for some people, it's drawing. For some people, it's writing. For some people, it's working with kids. For some people, it's getting out in their workshop and messing around with a saw and a hammer. But we've got to be able to create that space to have those, because nobody else is going to do it for us. So that's where I believe that we begin to create freedom for ourselves. We don't limit ourselves. You know, so we may be saying no to a few things so we can say yes to something bigger or greater or more significant. Boundaries is a hard thing, I realize that. But if we are going to experience life abundantly, as Jesus wanted to bring us, that He said, some of the decisions that we have to make are going to be a direct result of whether or not we're experiencing that abundancy or not. Because we get ourselves in a fix sometimes. I mean, we say yes to too many things. We get ourselves overextended. And if you're sitting here today and you're feeling overextended financially, relationally, time, my hope is that you're not feeling guilty. Because that's certainly not why I do a message like this. This is not to make you feel bad about some bad decisions that you might have made that has kind of put you in a bad spot. What I hope is happening is the light of God is shining into this area of your life and showing you what could be if you're willing to make the steps. Because you see, our God deals in grace and mercy. He's got an abundant supply of it. That whenever we kind of make a mess of things, He can come in there and kind of clean it up. And allow ourselves to feel the love and grace of God. To say, you know, yeah, I did mess up, but I'm going to take this as a learning opportunity and make better decisions for myself or better decisions for my family. That's what I hope you feel. Not guilt, but hope for what it could be. For what it could be. Would you join me in prayer?